Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Welcome to the Freedom Report. First, a message from our sponsors. The Libertarian Republic is brought to you in part by Amagi Metals. Amagi Metals is TLR's trusted metals dealer, and their mission is to help simplify the buying process of metals while illuminating the importance of financial responsibility and sound money. So, if you've been thinking about getting into metals, go to AmagiMetals.com and check them out. That's AmagiMetals.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. Today is Tuesday, March the 25th, and I have a special, very special guest with me today, a former correspondent at Russia Today, Liz Wall. Liz, welcome to the show.
Hi, Austin. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. So Liz has been very high profile lately because of her exit, her high profile exit from Russia Today, where she said this.
Last night, RT made international headlines when one of our anchors went on the record and said Russian intervention in Crimea is wrong. And indeed, as a reporter on this network, I face many ethical and moral challenges, especially me personally, coming from a family whose my grandparents came here as refugees during the Hungarian Revolution, ironically to escape the Soviet forces. I have family on the opposite side, on my mother's side, that sees the daily grind of poverty. And I'm very lucky to have grown up here in the United States. I'm the daughter of a veteran. My partner is a physician at a military base where he sees every day the firsthand accounts of the ultimate prices that people pay for this country. And that is why, personally, I cannot be part of network funded by the Russian government that whitewashes the actions of Putin. I'm proud to be an American and believe in disseminating the truth. And that is why, after this newscast, I'm resigning.
So, Liz, we just listened to your clip about that you did. So can you tell me, why did you quit Russia Today in such a manner?
Well, I quit Russia Today because I strongly disagreed with the stances and the editorial agendas, particularly when it comes to the crisis in Crimea and Ukraine. I saw that it was being used as a tool, a propaganda tool, to justify the Russian foreign invasion under the guise of protecting ethnic Russians. And I've been really, really thinking about leaving for a while. But
so it wasn't something that just came about.
No.
Were you emboldened by Abby Martin's statement the night before?
The night before, Abby Martin made a public statement saying that she disagreed with the Russian invasion, and I was proud of her. Mm-hmm. I was really happy that she did that. But what I thought was troubling was that the network was using that statement to lend credibility to the network, saying
to act as if it's objective
and to legitimize it by saying, you know what, we don't have to force anything down our correspondents' throats. We don't, they're free to say whatever they want is what they're, the way that they handled that situation. I know behind the scenes that they were, when Abby said that, that management was scrambling. They didn't know what to do. Their official response actually was that they were going to send her to Crimea to find out for herself. Abby, of course, knew exactly what would happen if she went to Crimea, that this would be a vetted PR experience, in her words, so she didn't end up going. But it really bothered me that after that, RT was using her brief moment of dissent to lend credibility to the network when the very next day I was censored to an extent that I have never seen before. Every story that we reported on Ukraine was part of the agenda, the Kremlin agenda.
You had a Ron Paul interview censored.
Yes, I had a Ron Paul interview that was censored. I asked him a question, posed a question about Russia. You know, Ron Paul, very consistent, has a very consistent
non-interventionist
approach. We all know and we're familiar with what his stance is. But for the sake of balance, I asked him what we should do in the wake of Russia invading. How the U.S., how should Washington respond to that? Mm-hmm. And later on, I saw that the video editor was editing out those words, Russia invading. And that bothered me because I knew exactly why. He told me he did it because the higher-ups told him to do it. Mm-hmm. And it was significant, those particular words being edited out. I mean, this was over 10 minutes, a 10-minute segment with Dr. Paul. And it bothered me that those particular words were edited out because of what they symbolized. That those words were being censored because Russia does not characterize its actions as an invasion. In fact, the Kremlin is trying to whitewash it as a humanitarian mission. Self-defense forces is what they're calling it. Mm-hmm. So I realized the significance of that, and that bothered me. In addition to the coverage, every story presented that day was painting the opposition as neo-Nazis. And this is part of the Kremlin's technique right now, is to kind of shape the perception of events going on the ground there.
Right. That's a classic maneuver.
Absolutely.
You know, to try and paint the opposition as neo-Nazis.
Yes.
You know, and the reality is that there may be some neo-Nazis in the Ukrainian movement that mm-hmm. they had for freedom. They pushed because they wanted to be a part of the EU and to move farther away from Russia. They mm-hmm. wanted to be a part of the trade union of the European Union.
Certainly they exist, and this is something that should be addressed.
There's neo-Nazis in every movement.
Yes.
You know, there are neo-Nazis who are Democrats. You know,
absolutely.
There are neo-Nazis who call themselves libertarians. And,
yes.
you know, that doesn't mean that our
that
entire
doesn't
movement
mean to,
is
to,
neo-Nazi.
To just characterize this entire opposition.
It's like how they tried to paint the Tea Party as all racists. You
right.
know what I mean? That's a classic tactic.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's a tactic being used by the Kremlin right now. Of course, we know that media, controlling the media, he's outright shut down media that is not pro-Russian.
Right.
And then the media that does air, he's trying to control the message there, not letting international monitors in. This is part of him shamelessly invading, the Kremlin shamelessly invading under the guise of protecting ethnic Russians. And mm-hmm. it's ludicrous. And
right.
I didn't want to be a part of being part of that propaganda network.
Right. Now, a lot of I want to talk for a minute just about that propaganda, because I think it's important to analyze a response that Abby Martin gave mm-hmm. when she was asked to come go on Piers Morgan. And Abby Martin was asked, you know, how does she justify working for what you had characterized as a propaganda network? And her response was, well, it's on par. It's equivalent to the American networks that are owned by five corporations that put propaganda out for the war in Iraq, for example. And I called her out on my website for that, because I saw a false equivalence there. Because
mm-hmm.
the difference between, in my mind, the difference between Fox News, CNN, and, you know, all the other major networks, the other mainstream media networks, is that they don't have the force of government behind them. They may have opinions that we don't agree with, but that doesn't mean the government's going to go out and act on their behalf. You know, they can't, there's no direct line to the White House to say, hey, you know, you guys need to go invade Iraq. You know, if anything, when I was working at Fox, we did a show called Freedom Watch, and George Bush actually called us to say, hey, what the hell's wrong with you guys?
Right.
You know, so we were in opposition quite often with the White House. But that would not happen in Russia today, is that right?
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. Russia today serves to... The voices that are on there is kind of Abby, for example.
Mm-hmm.
She... the Russians love her. The Russian
right.
the Russian managers love her because her stance tends to be very, very hostile towards the West.
Mm-hmm.
She tends to focus on she's a truther.
She focuses on...
Yes.
Now, wait a minute. Now, you say she's a truther, and I know probably a lot of the people who may be listening to us may have questions about 9/11. Some of them may be truthers, and they know that I'm hostile to trutherism. But I want to talk about this, because people say that this is like another smear, just like they're
mm-hmm.
trying to smear you.
Right.
Does Abby currently hold those beliefs? Because a lot of times people will have those beliefs when they start out and they're young and they're idealistic. You know, I know she was big with Occupy Wall Street. street. And then as they get older and they get more experience, they realize how wrong they were.
Right. So at first, it's kind of cool. You're kind of anti-government, counterculture, you know.
Does Abby still sort of pander to that conspiracy theorist?
She does. I mean, on the front of her laptop, she has the 9/11 Truther logo on it with the two twin towers and the plane moving toward it.
That's a shame.
She does. And listen, Austin, I totally am on board. I think that it's the media's role to criticize the government. I think it's the media's role to uncover political corruption. Mm-hmm. But for that to be the mission, and especially when that is the mission, when the mission actually ultimately is to make America look bad, mm-hmm. to kind of downplay, to make the Kremlin look good by association.
Right. There's plenty that makes the American government look bad, but you don't have to try and make the Russian government look good. And here's a reason why I actually dissented with Congressman Ron Paul with the way that he characterized the Crimean situation, because he wrote an article in USA Today saying, Crimea secedes, so what? And there's two problems with that. One, Crimea didn't secede. They were annexed by after a military invasion, so yes. It's not secession. And two, so what implies isolationism. We don't care what happens overseas, or that we don't care what happens in Ukraine. And if anything, you may not be advocating for Putin in that, but in a sense you are. And not for the second statement, but for the first statement, where you legitimize what he calls secession, which this is not secession. Mm-hmm. This is a military annexation. So I think that a lot of libertarians have got this wrong, and they may not believe that they're shilling for Putin, but Putin takes their words, and he takes it, and then he can use that. And aren't you saying that? Right. And don't you say that that's really why Putin focused so much on Ron Paul? I mean, if anything, to be honest, that's probably why I was given a voice at Russia Today for a time, was because I was so hardcore for Ron Paul. And so as being seen as someone who is against the American establishment, which I 99% of the time find myself, you know, but when compared to Russia, you know, I have to say, hey, back off, you know, like I'm not trying to stoke the fires of the Cold War here. But, you know, we're going to talk about Jamie Kirchick here in a second. You know, Russia is not necessarily an evil empire, but that doesn't mean they have good intentions with what they're doing here.
Right.
So I think
their intentions are very clear. I think Putin's intentions are very clear when he decided to invade. He wanted Crimea, and he was willing to do whatever it took to get there, whatever the implications are for international law or controlling the media. Mm-hmm. That's what he wanted. That's what he wanted to do.
Now, your former employer, Russia Today, has come out against you pretty hardcore, and there have been headlines that saying that your resignation was an apparent neoconservative stunt because of the timing of your resignation that coincided with some tweets that were sent out by the Foreign Policy Institute. Jamie Kirchick, I believe, works there, and people who are listening to this podcast are probably very familiar with Jamie Kirchick. They call him the devil. He's the devil, and certainly we at Libertarian Republic understand that Jamie Kirchick is no friend to liberty if you believe in total limited government, or if you believe in the rights of whistleblowers and things like that. Jamie Kirchick has said some pretty awful things about Chelsea Manning, calling for her to be executed, hanged as a traitor, and said some of the same things about Glenn Greenwald. And so what's happened, Liz, is that you have sort of been smeared as being a pawn of the neoconservatives because of your affiliation with Jamie Kirchick. Was that your intention?
Absolutely not. And the people that know me, my friends, my family, my boyfriend, when they heard that I was this theory out there that I'm a pawn for neoconservatives, it really surprised them, because they're like, wait a minute, we know you. You're not a neoconservative.
So then why did you choose
to
come out?
The only reason why I came out to Jamie was because a few months back, he staged a protest on RT where he was protesting the anti-gay propaganda laws in Russia.
Right.
And I thought that was a bold move. I respected him for doing that. I thought that the anti-gay propaganda laws in Russia were not covered enough or fairly or overlooked on the network. Mm-hmm. And I respected him for that. Mm-hmm. And that's the only reason why I got in contact with him. I reached out to him. I kept in contact with him periodically. He never pressured me to resign. Mm-hmm. I did, however, we kept in contact, and I told him on that day that I think today is the day that I'm going to resign. I need to do this.
You had been telling him this. I mean, but, you know, he wasn't the only one, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, Liz and I had a conversation like this several months ago. Like, we had the same conversation. And I think that the problem is that you have been sort of mischaracterized here, Liz. And if, don't let me lead you on. You tell me. But I think you've been mischaracterized here because of your association with Jamie Kirchick. If it had been me, for example, on the other side, people probably wouldn't have called you into question because they wouldn't have seen you as being a pawn. But because of Jamie Kirchick's rhetoric against, his hostile rhetoric against Russia, that's all he writes about nowadays, people saw this as you trying to advance the foreign policy objectives of the neoconservatives. Is that true or not true?
I can see why that association is being made. It's being made to smear me. It's made to smear my intentions, to smear my character.
Mm-hmm. And Russia Today is running with that.
They're running with it. And that's all that, and that's, this is what they're doing right now. Mm-hmm. They are bashing the messenger instead of addressing my message, mm-hmm. because they can't. They can't address the message that about the editorial slant right now and the way that it's being used as a propaganda tool, mm-hmm. to further Putin's interests right now in a very troubling, tense, uncertain time for it, for the people of Ukraine, for the region, and for world powers here. Mm-hmm. We're seeing tensions like we haven't since the end of the Cold War. Mm-hmm. We haven't heard rhetoric like this in years and years. And all I can say is that the only reason why I reached out to Jamie, mm-hmm. was because, pure and simple, because of his demonstration that he staged, and that's it. And I'm in what the reason why Foreign Policy Initiative, the reason why they tweeted, mm-hmm. was because Jamie must have alerted them, so it put them on alert. And they tweeted something and said, hey, watch out, something's going to happen at RT. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know that Foreign Policy Initiative was going to tweet that. Mm-hmm. But that's it. That's it. I reached out to Jamie. He published the exclusive because he knew. Mm-hmm. And that was it. That's where it ends.
So then, all right, well, then maybe this next question might help clear the air. And I'm curious what you think. Now, yesterday, Obama announced that they would most likely be dismantling much of the bulk collection of metadata that has been the sticking point of libertarians who have been arguing against the Obama administration. And, you know, Glenn Greenwald and Edward Snowden play an important role in this. We mm-hmm. see that a lot of people like Jamie Kirchick, you know, they hate people like Edward Snowden and Glenn Greenwald. What do you think about people like that in light of the news that their revelations are changing policy?
What do I think of Snowden and Greenwald?
Yeah.
I think that they have prompted a very important discussion mm-hmm. in the U.S. Of privacy, of gathering mm-hmm. our an increasingly digital world mm-hmm. where we conduct most of our lives online. Mm-hmm. I think that they've sparked a very important debate in this country. And as we see people taking action to protect our privacy, to protect our freedoms, to protect our First Amendment rights. Mm-hmm. And it's prompted a very important discussion. Mm-hmm.
But you wouldn't call for the execution of Edward Snowden, would you?
No, uh-huh. no. Would I agree that about the way that he went about it? I don't know. I don't know if I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. I do, however, I think that he's highlighted an important issue and he has put it to the forefront of American dialogue and the discussion. Mm-hmm. And it's bringing about changes. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a worthwhile issue. Mm-hmm. And that's it. I definitely don't think that he should be, what was he calling
for? Hanged as a traitor?
Absolutely. No. That's a little too far.
You think he should be given amnesty?
I don't know about that. I'm going to keep my opinion out of that one.
Okay. Well, you know, one of the people that was sort of critical of Snowden was someone who you and I probably both admire, a man by the name of Senator Rand Paul. He criticized Snowden and said that Snowden should serve jail time for what he did, but only with the caveat that so should James Clapper for lying to Congress. And I thought that really made a lot of libertarians angry because they see Snowden as a hero and they see James Clapper, the head of national intelligence, as the real traitor, which, you know, you can argue that all day long. Mm-hmm. But what Rand Paul seems to be doing is sparking a conversation about these things and being intellectually honest, because if you think about it, Snowden did commit a crime. Mm-hmm. However, in the United States, we do have laws that protect whistleblowers. So technically, if you commit a crime, if you break a contract that you have, as such as Snowden did, but what you did was in the greater good of society, then you would be prosecuted for that crime. You would be sentenced to 0 days in prison. And that's theoretically how it should work. if you have a just society. But unfortunately, I think nowadays people think that we do not have a just society. And so because they see people who want to prosecute people like Edward Snowden and not give them 0 days in prison, put them in prison for life and execute them as traitors. And these are people who call Snowden what you will, but now because of what Snowden has done, we now know what the government is doing. Other governments around the world may know that might be some, causing some red flags, but if anything, it has changed policy here in the United States. Same with the Pentagon Papers, Senator Mike Gravelle, when he revealed those awful things about the Vietnam War. And so I think that the problem, Liz, was the fact that maybe you didn't realize that there was so much vitriol with Jamie Kirchick specifically, and that even though your resignation fit their narrative, that wasn't what you were going for.
No.
That's why people like Truth Dig and Fire Dog Lake and the hardcore social democrats, the liberals, are coming out against you, because they see you as being a pawn for these interests of national security that are very militant. Yeah.
And I did what I did because I felt morally and ethically compelled to do so. Mm-hmm. I disagreed with the propaganda that was being used in light of current events. That's why I quit now. That was a red line for me. And I knew that I had to do it publicly. Otherwise, we wouldn't be having this discussion right now.
I know.
And I thought it was important for people, especially when it comes to the coverage of Ukraine, to consider the source. Mm-hmm. And it has sparked this discussion. Has sparked millions of views.
But are there other people at Russia Today that feel the way that you do, Liz?
Absolutely. Absolutely, Austin. There are people there. Actually, I got several messages from employees, past and present, saying, Liz, I'm so glad that you did that. I'm so glad that you blew the whistle on this sketchy organization. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that you did that. I support you. So, and there's people there. And sadly, what it comes down to, you ask, why are they still there then?
Yeah.
It just comes down to collecting a paycheck, mm-hmm. just going to work.
Yeah. Experience.
A lot of times people will do a job that they don't exactly like. And, I didn't like being part of this organization for a while, but this, to me, the coverage in Ukraine, and as I saw that this network was being used as a tool to push propaganda, mm-hmm. about this crisis, mm-hmm. And to justify Russian military intervention and to whitewash that was a red line for me. And I think whatever it is, Austin, whether it's in law, banking, business, finance, whatever it is, when you see wrongdoing, that eventually you speak up and say, this is wrong. Mm-hmm. And if I went quietly, nobody would know.
So there's one last thing. Now Russia is starting to talk about how they worry about the ethnic Russians in Estonia and other parts of Europe. They're starting to worry about, perhaps the European Union is worrying, and the United States is worrying, that Russia may be continuing their territorial mm-hmm. expansion. If that's the case, do you predict that more people are going to start to pull Liz Wall at the Russian network if they're forced to push out propaganda to justify that sort of hostility?
Do you think more people are going to follow suit?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, possibly. We'll see. I can tell you that last week there was some internal... There was a kind of a revolt,
really,
if you want to use that word. Yes, they put a Moscow correspondent on the anchor desk.
Really?
Because another correspondent, an American correspondent on Monday, voiced her opposition to the coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Because the network is seeing scrutiny like it's never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, the following that it had was a very kind of fringe following, mm-hmm. that it's kind of cultivated. But
right.
from the opinion talking heads on there.
Right.
This is the audience that they cultivated.
Right.
And, but I was on the news, so my job was to stick to the facts, and I did that.
Right.
I did that whenever they tried to push me to do something that I didn't feel comfortable with. I pushed back. I certainly was the one that often pushed back at that network.
Mm-hmm.
But, and so after this happened, it really shined a spotlight on this network and what exactly they're doing, what exactly it is, what their message is, and basically how it's propaganda.
Can you say what people were thinking about putting that Moscow correspondent on the desk?
Yes, yes. So Monday, the anchor that was supposed to be anchoring that mm-hmm. day, shortly before the 4 p.m. live newscast, she voiced her her concerns about one of the reports. I believe it was a report that painted the opposition as, or kind of blowing this whole neo-Nazi thing out of proportion.
Right.
And this was, this anchor, this American anchor, voiced her concern about this. So she was kicked off, and there was no 4 p.m. There was no 4 p.m. newscast. Instead, it went to the Russian programming. Mm-hmm. And for the rest of that week, or at least Monday through Thursday, they put the Moscow correspondent on, mm-hmm. the Russian correspondent. And that's never happened before. She's never anchored a newscast before for RT America. And I was told, at least for some of the time, until further notice, that there would be no American anchors on the desk.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
Fascinating.
So there's growing dissent inside. There's people that are worried about what they're doing. They know that the spotlight is on them. They know that they're being scrutinized, and maybe are worrying about their future down the road, saying, you know what, how is this going to make me look if I'm complicit in spreading this propaganda? Mm-hmm. So certainly there's people on the inside that have voiced their concern. It's leading to some issues. It's very tense inside that newsroom, from what I hear.
Yeah. And this is the last point that I want to talk about. Margarita Simonyan. How do you pronounce her name?
Simonyan, I believe.
Simonyan. She's your former chief editor at Russia Today. You know, she's responded to this controversy with sort of dismissive sarcasm, and she joked, "It is the company policy to unleash the KGB on anyone who dares to leave." Now, that's supposed to be funny.
I know.
Considering the fact that Putin was KGB, do you think that's very funny?
I did not find that
considering
funny.
That Putin has a record of murdering journalists.
Exactly.
I actually was worried about you and Abby when I saw you guys do this.
Yeah, my family was worried about me. I have a lot of people that were worried about me.
But what's your response to that?
I don't even know how to respond to that.
All right.
It's not funny. I think I'm laughing right now in kind of an uncomfortable and puzzled way. Mm-hmm. But it kind of just goes to show, why can't she give a serious response to these questions?
I've heard that there's been quite a bit of chaos from your resignation, but Liz, I really appreciate you coming and talking to us today, because I think that this is an issue that has gotten muddled. I think that the propagandists have done a very good job of smearing you, and some of it lies with, I think, you know, the mistake of going to the Foreign Policy Initiative, because it's given legitimacy to the critics in the sense that they see you as being a pawn for the militaristic foreign policy agenda that Russia is trying to condemn.
But all I can say is that I went to Jamie, and he published the exclusive.
Right.
I didn't know that he had informed this think tank that he's associated with.
Right.
I went to him. He's a writer for the Daily Beast, so he published it in the Daily Beast. Mm-hmm. And that was all.
Right.
I have no connections to neocons beyond that.
Well, what is, are you a libertarian, Liz?
I am an independent. I am a registered independent.
We won't kill you then. Your boyfriend's a libertarian, I heard, though.
He's libertarian-leaning, I would say.
More of a conservative.
I don't know if I would. I'll keep him out of this.
Libertarians can have dinner. All right. Well, this was a great podcast. We'll leave it at that. Liz, thank you very much for joining
us. Thank you so much.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Hopefully that helped clear some things up.
I hope so, too. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the Freedom Report podcast. This is your home for economic freedom and personal liberty. Don't forget to sign up for us on iTunes. And if you listen to us on Stitcher, you can also find the Freedom Report podcast there. Come back and check us every single day for your home of economic freedom and personal liberty, the libertarianrepublic.com.